Joining me on the phone is my great Tribune colleague and the State House Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. It's Monique Garcia. Welcome, and thanks for getting up with us this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be able to chat with you.
Oh, come on. You're only saying that to be nice. This is kind of one of these weekends where we do it so you don't have to, because the Illinois House will be in session this afternoon. They'll be back after their brief little holiday respite. Illinois Senate comes back on Monday, all looking ahead to May 31st and the scheduled adjournment date, which here we go. It's Groundhog Day all over again.
Indeed. It seems almost like we're careening towards a brick wall again.
Yes, exactly. Except it doesn't hurt anymore, except it just hurts all the providers of services that are, you know, the social service safety net that just keeps crumbling away. We have, you know, when lawmakers were last in session, we had the Senate Democrats pass their proposal for a $37.3 billion budget that includes $5.4 billion in income tax increases, expanded sales tax, taxing streaming, video streaming, and video services, all on Democratic votes, and now sends that package over to the House. We've got House Appropriations Committee's meeting this afternoon. As you kind of put it, they'll be picking that apart. What should we expect today?
Well, I think that we're going to see them really kind of go into the nitty-gritty of this spending plan. So for several months, Democrats have, in a very public nature, been trying to work with the Republican colleagues in the Senate to come up with some kind of budget agreement that, you know, has fallen apart several times, spectacularly last week when Democrats said, you know, we're sick of trying to wait to get the GOP on board. We're going to go it alone. Meanwhile, while the eyes were on the Senate, the House, privately, Democrats have been meeting for, if not months, to come up with their own plan. So they very much have a good idea of, you know, the issues at hand, how big the budget hole is, and kind of the votes that would be to try to get out. But they say, you know, we don't want to just outright dismiss all of the hard work that our colleagues in the Senate did. So we'll get here. We'll have people from universities come in. We'll have some social service providers come in. And we'll go down and get into the nitty-gritty of it and see if it can work. Now, we know that privately, Democrats voted on this plan in caucus before they left town Friday. There was a general lack of support. So the question now is whether or not do we work with this framework the Senate sent us and try to tweak some things to try to build support, or, you know, do we put up something of our own on the board this week and have these kind of two dueling plans, which we've seen Democrats do frequently in the last several years.
Well, I was looking at the story that we wrote a year ago, and it was kind of back then it was a day of anger, and it was Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate were angry with each other. Republicans were even more angry at the Democrats than usual. I mean, it was those tensions that were building. And so here we have the Senate, which, you know, for years has kind of had to either take or leave what the House Democrats do under Speaker Madigan with a budget proposal. And now you have the Democrats in the Senate that are actually moving things forward. But given the great uncertainty about what the House Democrats plan to do, I was still very surprised that President John Cullerton and Senate Democrats would move on their own on a plan, taking some very politically risky votes here, and, you know, without knowing what Madigan and House Democrats are going to do, and you may have these members. Now, granted, I'm not sure how many of them are necessarily that politically vulnerable, but certainly they're going to catch some heat to vote for, you know, this kind of very sizable income tax increase.
Right. And those are discussions that they had had internally amongst themselves for a very long time. But they're a building and growing frustration for some rank and file members who want to be able to go home and tell people in the district they did something. You know, they argue that it hadn't been good enough to say no and to say, look, we're really trying to protect you in the face of saying the governor wants that we don't support ideologically. They say that is no longer enough, and we need to at least be able to say we tried. There's a view that no matter what they do, the governor and Republicans are going to come for them come election season, which we're already seeing now. So they say, you know, why not? Why don't we try to be your chamber? Why don't we try to set an example here and show our colleagues in the House that you can make these tough votes when required?
We're speaking to my Tribune colleague Monique Garcia. She's the State House Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is my Tribune colleague Monique Garcia, State House Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune. You know, Monique, we were talking right before the break about, you know, the Senate, basically Senate Democrats feeling, well, they're going to come after us anyway. You know, we'll try to be the adults in the room and move this process along. But I'm not sure that that gets you, you know, politically, I'm not sure that that gets you anywhere.
Right. And that is the concern that we're actually seeing more of in the House, where there are members who are a little bit more vulnerable. In fact, we saw this week the governor pulling in some rank and file House Democrats who are targets into his office. And our understanding of his conversations is that he warned them, you know, like, you can be in trouble if you vote for this Senate bill as is, which raises taxes and doesn't have a property tax freeze in it as he has called for. So there very much is a sense that this can come back to bite them, particularly if they take these votes and no budget actually becomes law. So they take these really tough votes and also on a budget that does include cuts, but they don't actually fix the problem. And so it's going to be really difficult to find a way forward here, particularly as we get closer and closer to election season. And people really worry about being just painted with that broad brush of having voted for a tax increase.
Well, and as you noted on Friday, there was a closed-door caucus meeting of the House Democrats. 42 of the 60 votes that would be necessary, 42 of them said that they could vote for this tax increase. But there is still that belief that if there's going to be some blame tossed around, that it needs to be blame on both a pox on both your houses kind of thing, a pox Republicans and Democrats as well.
Right. And Speaker Madigan has for many years insisted that if there is going to be a vote to increase revenue, that there has to be Republican votes on this. He fully recognizes he doesn't want to just expose Democratic members to the criticism. And indeed, people on both sides of the aisle have said very loudly for several years that it is going to take a tax hike and cuts and some other tweaking to make this work. But there seems to be just a lack for people to really come to an agreement on how to do that.
So today we have hearings on the Senate plan, but yet there's still kind of this fundamental belief of, you know, the unknown. What's next? Is it going to be a House full year budget? Is it going to just be a stopgap budget? Where does education fall into this? Because, you know, we're seeing schools around the state, despite the fact that, you know, the appropriations increased for K through 12 education, these schools are owed $1 billion in backlog bills. Where do we go forward?
Well, that is the multi-billion dollar question here, and there doesn't seem to be a consensus on how to proceed. So we have the House picking apart the Senate budget today. They do have some committees again scheduled for tomorrow, where it looks like they might have some bills they can pop on an amendment to update with their perhaps their budget proposal. But it's really unknown kind of, you know, where all of these pieces are going to land at the end of the day. And do Democrats, can they, will they be able to agree between the chambers and get a budget on the governor's desk? And then if they do, what happens if he vetoes it, which he did his first year in office, except, of course, for K-12 education? Or do we see something that happened last year where the chambers weren't able to agree, a spending plan did not go to Rauner, and they came back in June facing that July 1st start of the new fiscal year, and they created this temporary six-month spending plan, which, as you know, expired back in January, and schools and universities and social services have gone without funding during that whole time. So there's a whole host of questions that still remain out there, and it's causing a lot of nausea and, quite frankly, a lot of weariness among lawmakers and among schools and among social service providers who've gone through this process for what is now the third year.
Well, in our story in today's Tribune, we also note the fact about not only did the Senate, you know, approve this income tax increase that would move the personal rate from 3.75 to 4.95, almost where it was previously, but under the nature of the way that the Senate Democrats did it, it would have made it retroactive to January 1st, which means that the effective tax rate, the amount being withheld from paychecks, would be even greater to try to catch up for the time that has elapsed. And that's something that has created some consternation among Democrats in the House as well.
Absolutely. Greg Harris, the representative from Chicago who is leading these budget talks, said there's, you know, almost no support in his caucus to make that retroactive because it would be such a painful hit for people's paychecks. That said, there are also some within his wing, within the Democratic Party, who are pushing for an even higher tax rate, who say that, you know, that 4.95% sounds nice because it means we're below the 5% that was in place when Governor Quinn was in office. But that really, to dig us out of the hole properly, we need to probably go above 5%. We've seen that from some of these independent fiscal watchdogs who've studied this and said that, you know, 4.95 they could do it. But again, as noted earlier, there is an unwillingness to make that vote and to be put on the record as saying that you're willing to take more money out of taxpayers' pockets.
Well, and of course, we've seen the ramping up of Republican Governor Bruce Rauner's demand that a property tax freeze be part is the latest precondition for any kind of a package, and that obviously the Senate Democratic plan did not contain any kind of a freeze. I don't get any sense that the House Democrats are going to move towards one either.
Right. They're very clear in that, you know, that is something that sounds good. They compare it almost to like that word association game. When you hear Bruce Rauner, what do you want to think of? Well, he wants you to think it's property tax freezes because it sounds good if you just look at it at the surface level. But they note that property taxes are where they are because a lot of local towns rely on it for police and firefighter pensions or just day-to-day operations. And, of course, school districts rely on that money because they aren't currently getting enough funding from the state. So they worry about, you know, kind of the unintended consequences of doing that kind of freeze. And they note that, you know, we're not sure if we gave him a freeze if that would be enough anyway. He has kind of had this shifting list of demands that he wants as part of a budget package, and it changes sometimes from day to day or week to week or year to year. And they're not convinced that if they give him that freeze that he'll actually go along with the budget anyway. There's a lot of mistrust here, and nobody really seems to be willing to take each other at their word.
Mistrust, as we are already rapidly accelerated into the 2018 election season, not only for the race for governor, but also in the legislative contest with the state Republican Party, which is heavily funded by the governor, using robocalls to in some of those districts of House Democrats, warning them of the consequences if they vote for that Senate Democratic package. Monique Garcia, State House Bureau Chief for the Chicago Tribune, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Go back to sleep, and then because that way you won't fall asleep during those hearings this afternoon
right,
at 2
right.
o'clock.
It'll be a struggle either way.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.